welcome, bienvenidos, hola, aloha, ni hao, namaste, konnichiwa, bonjour, buongiorno, sawadee karup, guten tag, half a day, jai janendra, jai weevi got that cut bang, did I say that already? Salam, shalom, peace, now, go vegan, peace how, go vegan. From the left coast of the unlabeled, genetically mutated, McNugget Pharmaceutical Vivisection Prison, Kilitary Industrial Corporation, in the cheese-covered, post-constitutional, bankster bankrupt, corruptocracy, mocracy, criminocracy of the United States of Listeria, foodborne in the NSA, NRA, USA, home of Uncle Salmonella, where they sure do eat a lot of dead animal body parts, and the Wall Street-backed corporate diet of death, disease, and destruction is shoved down your throat. This is Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, getting ready for the World Vegan Summit and Expo exactly 1 month away from right now, right this very moment. Yes, the weekend of March 20th, 21st, 22nd. When it happens, the first day of spring. You know, so that Friday is the first day of spring, March 20th. Perfect for a new beginning, huh? A new beginning for a vegan movement that is HSUS free, or I should say HXUX free. Yes, a vegan movement, HSUS free, mercy for animals free, farm sanctuary free, compassion over killing free, farm USA free, animal rights conference free. Yes, the first day of spring, a new beginning for a vegan movement, you know, free from all of those organizations, which then means we're also cage free and free range free. Grass-fed free, pasture-raised free, locally raised free, higher welfare free, organic meat, dairy, and egg free, enriched cages free, pig farmer management free, foie gras ban free, meatless Monday free, humane animal products free. Why, we will just be free to be vegans. Yeah, and ask others to go vegan too. Well, set yourself free at the World Vegan Summit and Expo, where our first concern is setting the animals free. You know, free from human exploitation or use for any purpose. Yeah, let's help people free their thinking, you know, that animal flesh and secretions, you know, are not food. What kind of thinking is that? Animals aren't food or clothing or laboratory experiments or entertainers. The way we treat animals, you would think it to be, more like hate crimes, huh? Of the highest magnitude. You know, what's up with so much hate in the world today, huh? Must be that everything is just so twisted, huh? You have an animal rights movement being led by people who give away discount coupons for packages of murdered pigs called bacon. You have an animal rights movement, being led by an organization with a pig farmer vice president whose murder victims just may be in those bacon packages for which HXUX offers you a dollar discount with a smiley face saying, breakfast just got tastier. Ah, the breakfast of champions, huh? The breakfast of, you know, the champions of animals, right, is cage-free eggs and crate-free bacon. By the way, Wayne Pacelli, Paul Shapiro of HXUX, they are the Eggman, let's face it, right? They are card-carrying partners of United Egg Producers and Proposition 2 and the Rotten Egg Bill. And, you know, so, I don't know. The president of the Egg Board, the American Egg Board, said he supports, he supplies HXUX with eggs. You heard that quote on the show a few weeks back when we were talking about what's wrong with Meatless Mondays, huh? So, the president of the American Egg Board says whenever HXUX has a client who wants cage-free eggs, he hooks them up. Well, I guess he's kind of used to hooking You know, or at least using hooks, right? Hook someone up, slaughterers. HSUS, hook someone up, slaughterers. HXUX is the Eggman, and HXUX is the pig farmer man, and all of its groupie groups, you know, who march to the tune of the Pied Piper of Animal Betrayal, you know, the groupie groups of HXUX, Mercy for Animals, Farm Sanctuary, Compassion Over Killing, and Farm USA. They are the Eggman, too. Their Meatless Monday and Meat Out campaigns are credited by the egg industry for record high egg sales and record high per capita consumption. The average American, thanks to HXUX and all of those groups, now eats 264 of those embryonic cholesterol cancer bombs annually. The public translates meatless, meat-free, and meat-out to mean, you know, eat dairy and eggs, you know? That's what the public thinks. And then, what, the groups just tell them all they have to do is go veg anyway, which probably means, you know, eat dairy and eggs. So we have created more suffering and death for cows and chickens. And I know, you know, MFA spin doctor right now, Nathan Runkel, will now claim Meatless Mondays a victory, you know, progress for pigs, right? Since, you know, no dairy and eggs from them, right? And then his animal rights blood brother, Paul Shapiro, can back him up with a dollar off coupon on Applegate bacon to prove it, you know. Just expect no such confusion at the World Vegan Summit and Expo. You know, going vegan is the way of life in a culture of death. I mean, we do need a new beginning, as you can see, because everything is just so twisted, right? The animal rights movement turning us into a bunch of egg salesmen. I mean, we couldn't have done better. I mean, animal advocacy is basically the policies of the meat, dairy, fish, and egg industries, you know, increase sales, huh? And so, you know, as I said on this program so much in the past, I pretty much see everything through a vegan filter, right? Being vegan for 31 years. And I believe that there is a vegan solution to just about every problem on Earth, meaning I think that every problem on Earth is caused by the immoral human behavior of eating meat, dairy, fish, and eggs. And I mean everything, you know, from war to teenage pregnancy, world hunger, disease, climate change. I also believe, very simple moral person that I am, that you are what you eat. And in my young, impressionable years, I condensed morality into a few such sound bites. Thou shalt not kill. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you, and you are what you eat. We eat, or I don't eat, you eat, Wayne Pacelli eats, or Wayne Pacelli's fans or members or whoever those people are in that meat-eating animal rights movement. They eat rape, torture, imprisonment, fear, terror, beheading. And what comes out the other end after they eat that or them? Nothing. Huh? Sorry, it was a trick question, because when you eat those, you're actually kind of fiber-free. And with constipation comes the desire to drop missiles. But why all the hate? Hate, hate, hate. Hate crime here, hate crime there. What kind of hate crime is eating meat, dairy, fish, and eggs? Your Honor, guilty, with an explanation by reason of insanity. We love animals so much, you know, we pay someone to do things to animals that you'd have to think the animals just, you know, what did they do to deserve that? They must have just wiped out your family or something, right? Like they have drones, right? Although eating them and their excretions do just that, right? Doesn't it just twist our innards growing up as children, our natural instincts to love and help animals, you know, all of that in stories? I remember the books I read as a child about beavers being a little family and building a dam, and I just loved animals and related to them, you know. And then come the dark secrets, you know, that were hidden from us by clowns and Happy Meals. When we learn the true reality, Doesn't that just twist up us up inside? You know, I mean, it's just not right the way that it is. I hate that it's that way, but everybody's doing it. And Dad's carving up a big bird at the table right now. So, I don't know. Doesn't a slaughterhouse worker have to be filled with hate, you know, either of himself or the animals, you know, putting him in that position to do something so unnatural to us? But then, isn't the hate crime, you know, it's a hate crime that's societally approved. You know, it's not really a crime if everybody does it, if everybody eats meat, dairy, fish, and eggs. Even if the victims are all totally innocent, all harmless, what crime did they commit? You know, they were born, but they were born on death row. So we must really hate animals to allow this to happen, right? The mutilation, imprisonment. Yeah, sure, Guantanamo, let it be. What for the animals, you know, concentration camps, doesn't matter. Torture, beheading inflicted on the innocent. No prosecution, you know, we just eat the victims in this case and, you know, go on with our loving lives, you know. Well, I do see the World Vegan Summit and Expo has a love fest coming up, and you really should register. I think the discount room rate at the Marriott is about to expire, so it would be very good if you were to register. Well, after this program, I'm going to talk to you a bit about some of the benefits of registration in a moment here. Coming up on today's program will be Dr. Antenna Roba, who will be speaking at the World Vegan Summit and Expo. He's from the International Fund for Africa. And also coming up will be Ted Nordquist, who is CEO of Whole Soy, a company that actually makes, I believe, the most delicious vegan yogurt in the universe. And so they'll be coming up on today's program, and up next hour, we'll hear from Professor Gary Francione. We're talking about HSUS. Let's sing about HSUS, and we'll continue on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. Go to worldvegansummit.com. HSUS. HSUS is? That the World Vegan Summit and Expo is going to be another Woodstock moment. I'm embarrassed to say that I'm of the age where I actually was at Woodstock and experienced that magic, and similar to the first World Fest Los Angeles, a vegan event, and San Diego Fall Fest, a vegan event, which I organized. But yes, we've got to get ourselves back to the garden, and we will even have veganic farmers at the World Vegan Summit and Expo to get us back to the garden without any animal products when we grow our food. And we will be enjoying many veganic foods at the World Vegan Summit and Expo. This could be a once-in-a-lifetime event. Already the media are contacting me. The Los Angeles Times is planning its coverage. We have financial media and also entertainment media, all interested in this event. And if you're debating, saying, well, maybe I'll wait, you know, for the second annual, or, you know, don't be so sure that there'll be a second annual. We're getting together right now because there's a real need for vegan advocacy We're told by World Bank climate specialists that it's the only way to save the world from climate change. We need a 50 to 85% shift from so-called livestock products to eating vegan, or 1,700 U.S. cities face submersion in the not-too-distant future if we don't do that vegan shift by 2020. So here's perhaps the most important gathering ever, the one to save the world and try to save the billions of animals and the children. What kind of world are they to have? And can we save them from disease and hunger? So, I mean, it's an amazing schedule. The check out the green ticket, which is all access, meals included. And we start Friday, March 20th. The expo is all 3 days, opening at 10 in the morning, going till 6 p.m. Friday and Saturday, 5 p.m. on Sunday. So we have the expo outside the California Ballroom foyer there, and the Bayview Ballroom upstairs with a magnificent view of Southern California. Go to worldvegansummit.com. Register now. We start off Friday afternoon with speakers in the California Ballroom. Your green ticket gets you admission to all of the speakers in the California Ballroom. And Friday afternoon we have Professor Gary Steiner of Bucknell University, who starts talking about animals in the history of Western thought. Then we have Charlotte Cressy, who's an educator, ecofeminist, yoga and meditation instructor. Her talk is Embodied Love, Abolition Liberation from an Ecofeminist Perspective. We will have Professor Sherry Kolb and Professor Michael Dorf of Cornell University. Sherry has written the book, Mind If I Order the Cheeseburger and Other Questions People Ask Vegans. Well, on their session Friday, their session is Questions People Ask Vegans. They have a Saturday session, which will be Lessons the Vegan Movement Can Learn from Other Justice Movements. Also Friday afternoon, Ted Nordquist, who's coming up next hour, CEO of Whole Soy, will talk about the challenges of sustaining an organic vegan business. He'll be followed by Professor Tammy Bryant, a law professor at UCLA. Her subject is Why Supporting Vegan Businesses is an Important Part of Animal Rights Law. Then we hear from Will Tuttle, author of The World Peace Diet. He will be there. And then it's time for the Friday evening reception. We have music. I'll speak briefly. Professor Gary Francione will talk for a bit on Friday evening. We have world-class comedy from Mike Kaplan. Maybe you've seen him on the Comedy Channel or Network TV. Mike Kaplan, great vegan comedian with a routine. And Maxime Ginolin will have a screening of Le Jugement, his film. Then on Saturday, California Ballroom, we have breakfast with the veganic farmers, Alan Herndon and Ed Etheridge, in the morning there. I have the official welcoming session. My good friend Anuj Shah will participate. Gary Francione then will introduce us to the abolitionist approach to animal rights. Mike Weinberg of Vegan Diego, the importance of supporting 100% vegan businesses. Lynn La of Loving Hut. Isaac from Viva La Vegan. Eric Weissman, Evolution Dog and Cat Food. You get the message. We'll continue on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. Register now. Go worldvegansummit.com. Continue on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com, on Twitter at Go Vegan Radio, Facebook Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, and a couple of other Bob Linden pages on Facebook where I hide from myself constantly. And there's also a Facebook page for the World Vegan Summit and Expo, and the website where you can register, worldvegansummit.com. Just before the break, I was mentioning the lunch speakers on Saturday, the green ticket. Register, get your green ticket. You see all of the speakers in the California Ballroom, and all the meals are included. We have an Italian feast for lunch on Saturday. As I mentioned, Mike Weinberg, founder of Vegan Diego, on the importance of supporting 100% vegan businesses. At lunch, also Lynn Law of Loving Hut USA, Isaac Iftikhar from Viva La Vegan Grocery, and Eric Weissman, Evolution Dog and Cat Food, all vegan businesses. Gary Francione has his, and Anna Charlton host a vegan, grassroots vegan advocacy workshop that afternoon with Sandra Cummings, Mariana Gonzalez, Vincent Gahane, David Langla, and Jeff Pers. We have the greeting from the 92-year-old Jain spiritual leader, Gurudev Chitrabanu, and Vaidya Priyanka, the from a 700-year lineage of Ayurvedic women healers, telling us dairy is filth. Anuj Shah again that afternoon, Professors Kolb and Dorf, and Sue Koh, the artist, her presentation, The Art of Compassion. Then we have Soul Food for Thought that evening, our dinner show. We have a great reggae band, Blaze Mob, and rap from Vegan Boss, Seba Johnson, Olympic skier, Kenneth G. Williams, champion bodybuilder, Babette Davis, owner of Stuff I Eat Restaurant, Dr. Milton Mills talking about traditional African diets and you know, the plantation food eaten today, that he calls it plantation food, and my next guest, who will make really what you will find to be one of the most dramatic presentations in your life. You have to attend the World Vegan Summit and Expo, really, just to be a part of Soul Food for Thought, because we did this once in San Francisco. And Dr. Antenna Roba from Ethiopia, from the International Fund for Africa, who is somebody who has been saving human babies and animals, other species in Africa for forever, and human lives here in emergency rooms. And he just, you know, he's so dedicated to the vegan cause, and he can speak from a number of perspectives, and gosh, I've talked so much about you, Antenna, that no time to talk to you, so have a nice day. You know, see you there. Antenna, Dr. Roba, how are you? Oh, okay. All right. Well, you might, then John, I don't know, maybe you could call Ted, and then we'll try to get a hint. Yeah. So, okay, we're trying to reach Antenna. So, gosh, with that dramatic beginning, let's see. So, what am I doing? I have a radio show to do here, but I'm telling you, it's kind of getting in the way of, you know, planning this event. I'm sorry if you hear dead air for a while. That's only I'm planning the event. I'm just multitasking, okay? If you don't mind. So Antenna, we're calling you now to be on the air. Okay, how's that? That's good. Okay. Alrighty. So, all right. So, where were we before I so rudely interrupted myself? Okay, so I'm telling you about Soul Food for Thought on Saturday evening. And let's see here now. Let me scroll down a little bit on the screen. Come up a little. Just wanted to mention the continuing benefits of your green ticket. Okay, so let's see. We got through Saturday, right? Soul Food for Thought. That means we have to go to Sunday now. Let's see. There's so many things going. So much in addition. I mean, for example, Donna DeLore in concert. She'll be on. I guess she'll start probably at around 5:30 or 6 p.m. on Saturday and go till around 7 o'clock. So Donna DeLore will be in concert at the World Vegan Summit and Expo with a full band. She's a great solo artist, has a really big following, but for 20 years she was Madonna's backup singer and dancer. traveled with her. Donna DeLore, Saturday evening concert. We do have great music happening at this event. So, okay. So then on Sunday morning, as it stands right now, it looks like it will be a Breakfast of Champions, not the breakfast of the champions of animals, which we discussed earlier, from H eggs, U eggs, you know, the cage-free eggs and crate-free bacon. Forget those. We have great vegan meals planned for you, included in your green ticket throughout the weekend. So for Breakfast of Champions, let's have breakfast with Jeanette Murray-Wakelin and Alan Murray. Champions. What sort of champions are they? Well, if you ever wanted, I mean, let's have breakfast with the greatest athletes in the world. Have you ever heard of people running a marathon every day for 366 consecutive days? Every day, 366 consecutive days. And they are in their 60s. And Jeanette had a challenge with breast cancer, which she addressed with a raw vegan diet. And I don't know, are there better athletes? Have there ever been greater athletes? Nobody's ever done that. Nobody's ever run a marathon every day for 366 consecutive days. So, you know, rub elbows with the greatest athletes in the world. Seba Johnson, Olympic skier, Kenneth G. Williams, the first champion vegan bodybuilder. Unconfirmed, I had spoken to Mac Danzig some months ago, and he said he was interested in attending, but let's keep him in the unconfirmed column until I hear back from him again. And then also Sunday morning, your green ticket admission to hear our mighty May, Doctor of Veterinary Medicine, Sunday morning at the World Vegan Summit and Expo. She will be talking about healthy vegan dogs and cats. And then, this is a global event. People are coming from all over the world. Amanda Benham is coming from Australia. She's an accredited dietitian and nutritionist from Australia. And so she will be talking about healthy vegan nutrition for children of all ages. Her grown children have been vegan all their lives. So we have Amanda coming from Australia for that. Then, also Sunday morning, Lester Friedlander, doctor of veterinary medicine, former USDA meat inspector, who is now vegan, talking, really his talk is basically, you know, permanently, unavoidably contaminated, sick, cruel, and getting worse, no matter what Temple Grandin says. And Dr. Friedlander has his issues with Temple Grandin. And then also on Sunday morning at the World Vegan Summit and Expo, we will hear from Philip Wolin, who is a beloved philanthropist and humanitarian from the Kindness Trust. There seems to be a lot of interest in seeing Philip Wolin. He is speaking Sunday morning. He, too, coming from Australia for the World Vegan Summit and Expo. And then after Philip, I don't know, it looks like an Australian Sunday morning. And so it looks like an all Australian Sunday morning, because we'll spend a little more time with Jeanette Murray-Wakelin and Alan Murray after we talk to Philip Wolin, because, well, you know, her story is just so moving in what she did in addressing breast cancer. Then we move into Sunday afternoon, and Yeb Sanyo, who is the vegan Filipino UN climate change negotiator, who made news all around the world with his frustration with the climate summits that happen. Well, the climate summits are never going to come up with an answer. I mean, it's really crazy to depend upon politicians and governments. I mean, all we get from them are these, you know, schemes that are complicated, like hedge funds, this carbon trading nonsense. I mean, nothing will ever never work, except, you know, Wall Street will figure out a way of getting rich on nothing. You know, you can pollute more, we'll pollute less. That's absolutely no solution. An alternative energy infrastructure is no solution, because we're told it would take at least 20 years and $35 trillion. So as every time there's a UN climate conference, the Philippines get rocked with another typhoon. And so the only solution, as we are told by World Bank climate specialists who tell us that animal agriculture is responsible for at least 51% of all greenhouse gas emissions. Therefore, if we are to save Yeb Sanyo's homeland, we need to go vegan, really, to address climate change. Yeb Sanyo will be at the World Vegan Summit and Expo Sunday afternoon. Then we have our lunch. You know, we make the connection. Peace and social justice begin on your plate. And we will have a Mexican feast in tribute to Cesar Chavez. His birthday is the following weekend. Cesar Chavez was vegan. And our lunch speakers include Peace Mom Cindy Sheehan. She is vegan. She's the one who camped out at in Crawford, Texas, near the George Devil U. Bush property there. And then also at lunch, Sandra Soto will be speaking. She's from the Palestinian Animal League. Her discussion, vegan education, raising the profile of what is considered a trivial matter in Palestine. And is veganism really a trivial matter when a vegan requires 10,000 gallons of water to grow his or her food in a year, and someone who consumes so-called meat, dairy, fish, and eggs requires 320,000 gallons of water? How do we share the planet? Cindy Sheehan, and as I mentioned, Sandra's at that talk too, and also Janelle Palacio and Genesis Palacio, great niece and great-niece of Cesar Chavez, will be at the Sunday lunch. We have a Cesar Chavez tribute at 6 p.m. Sunday. WorldVeganSummit.com. Register now. Ted Nordquist coming up next from Whole Soy. Sunday afternoon, as we do every Sunday, Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, live Sundays from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m., syndicated by the Genesis Communications Network. You can also click Listen Live at GoVeganRadio.com. We're on Twitter at Go Vegan Radio and WorldVeganSummit.com. Please register now. I'm just awestruck by the amazing lineup of speakers and subjects at the World Vegan Summit coming up March 20th, 21st, and 22nd. Marina Del Rey Marriott. Register now. WorldVeganSummit.com. I just want to finish off. I was mentioning. All of the talks in the California Ballroom are included in your green ticket registration, which also includes all your meals. It's a Friday night reception, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Saturday, snacks on Saturday, breakfast, lunch, and Cesar Chavez reception on Sunday. And really will be an amazing time. I mentioned the Chavez, Cesar Chavez family members will be at our Mexican fiesta lunch on Domingo, Sunday there, celebrating their great uncle Tio's birthday coming up. Keith McHenry also will be talking on Sunday afternoon. Keith McHenry and Abby Samuels of Food Not Bombs, for the people who say, yeah, we care more about animals than people, feeding vegan food to the homeless, Food Not Bombs. Dr. Michael Clapper, also Sunday afternoon, the legendary medical professional, and Jacqueline Day, Los Angeles Unified School District Teacher of the Year at Venice High School. She will teach us how to get vegan food into the school. She has experience at that. Then on Saturday afternoon again, another grassroots vegan advocacy workshop, session two, Gary Francione and Professor Anna Charlton, along with, Sandra Cummings and Mariana Gonzalez, Vincent Gahain, David Langlois, and Jeff Pers. And I will we'll do a wrap-up at the end and have the Cesar Chavez birthday celebration. And this is only beginning to tell you what's happening at the event. There's so much more. Stay tuned. Or go to worldvegansummit.com and the Facebook page. I mean, we can really hardly keep up with it. You know, there's not enough time to tell you everything that's happening. We look forward to having our veganic food, veganic produce, and we'll wake up in the morning and have delicious organic coffee from Select Coffee and Tea. That's S-E-E-L-E-C-T. We're going to have a table there, and I was just going to have a great time. And I want to thank Vegetarian House for its support of the World Vegan Summit and Expo. When we were first starting to get this together to try to get the money together for the Marriott, and that's why I ask you to sign up for that green ticket, because it's a shared expense so that we have this wonderful gathering place to jumpstart a vegan movement, reboot animal rights, so that we're not, you know, doing the work of the meat industry. WorldVeganSummit.com, and you can register there now. And Vegetarian House kindly got us started off with the first donation toward paying for the event. Vegetarian House, it's 100% vegan restaurant, one of the great vegan restaurants in the world in San Jose. It's been there, 20 years or so, and go to vegetarianhouse.us. You'll see the menu, and 520 East Santa Clara Street if you happen to be in the neighborhood. If you happen to be in the Bay Area, Vegetarian House now caters. So whether you have a business event, a social event coming up, a wedding, might as well make sure it's special. Make sure the food is good. That's one of the important aspects of planning. That's what we're working on with the World Vegan Summit and Expo, too. Making sure, you know, the food is good, music's good, interesting talk, you know, the kind of talk that will basically save the world. That's the reason for the gathering. So, so we do hope to see you there. Again, it's worldvegansummit.com. worldvegansummit.com. And coming up, we will talk to one of the speakers who will be there Friday afternoon, and then we'll be enjoying his fantastic, most delicious vegan yogurt at breakfast. So stay with us. It's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at goveganradio.com. Once again, welcome to the second hour of Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at goveganradio.com, on Twitter at Go Vegan Radio, Facebook Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, and register now at worldvegansummit.com. Did I hear on the news they said that Homeland Security runs out of money on Friday? Uh-oh, threat of freedom. Careful, can't happen. I guess Dr. Roba isn't showing up for his interview today, but he will show up at the World Vegan Summit and Expo talking about the effect of the African-American diet on the climate in Africa, and also his visit to the slave dungeons of West Africa. So that's Saturday night at the World Vegan Summit and Expo. Friday afternoon, Ted Nordquist will be speaking. He is the CEO of Whole Soy, which I believe is the most delicious vegan yogurt I have ever experienced. I'm really crazy about the unsweetened plain, Ted. You got me hooked. Why is your yogurt so delicious, Ted Nordquist, PhD, CEO?
Yeah, well, Bob, It started a long time ago in Sweden, 1982. You know, I was living in Sweden for nearly 30 years, between 65 and 94. And I had the first tofu manufacturing plant. It was a hobby. I was teaching at the University of Uppsala, and a friend of mine and I found a juice company and renovated it, bought some equipment from Takai in Japan, and started Scandinavia's first tofu manufacturing plant in 1980. 1982, Alfa Laval, which is a large food processing manufacturer in Europe, they sold quite a lot of equipment separating palm oil in Asia, so they asked if I would participate in a soy research group to develop a high-tech means of producing good-tasting soy milk from whole soybeans. Most of us who have been doing this since that time know that the secret is lipogenous enzymes in the soybeans. So if you can, through heat and milling and vacuum, nothing else, there are no chemicals involved whatsoever, it's the same process that we were using when we were making tofu. However, the secret is to have a complete and total airless grind, so no oxygen is involved. It's an expensive process. The equipment to make a minimum amount of soy base this way is probably about $2 to $3 million. But this was developed in the early 80s, and I launched some non-dairy ice cream. It's still sold in Scandinavia and Sweden, Norway, Finland, Denmark, and England.
But I don't hear you saying sold in the USA, and I remember having it years ago, and again, it was maybe my favorite ice cream ever.
Yeah, well, I have one partner. He's actually 81 years old, Henry Glasser. He was recommended to me by my father's best friend. My wife and I moved here. We sold everything in Sweden, the tofu and the ice cream and everything, moved here in 1994. And we did that for personal reasons. It's a long story. I was actually, you can imagine, we built a soy-based plant down in the south of Sweden, and I was flying from, you might say, San Francisco on Sunday night down to San Diego, working in San Diego, which is Blekinge. So I was flying from Uppsala, Sweden to Blekinge, Sweden, and working from Sunday to Thursday and flying back. And I told my family that we needed to sell the house and move down to Blekinge in the south of Sweden. And they all said no. I have a wife and three children. So I was the only one that felt that I couldn't continue with that lifestyle. And then one of the kids one night said, I'd rather move to California than move to Blekinge. And that was in 1991. I sold everything in Sweden, and we moved to California. We live in Sonoma, and we moved to California in 1994. So we have an office in San Francisco, and we have a soy-based plant in Modesto. So the plant in Modesto, we have a seed geneticist. His name is Jerry Lorenzen. And he actually has a network of non-GMO certified organic farmers that specialize in growing what we call high-protein, low-oil food-grade soybeans for soy milk and tofu. And he exports a lot of this to Japan and other countries in Asia. And then he develops these high-protein, low-oil seeds. He then sends those to a farmer in northwestern Texas, the same farmer that's been growing our organic soybeans since 1998. And then we process them. We order the soybeans. They will clean, dehull them, put them on a truck, send them to Modesto, and within a week we'll process those. So if you have an idea about soybeans and corn in the United States, soybeans, about 93-94% of all soybeans grown in the United States are grown for their oil. It's actually called an oil seed. And these soybeans are actually called Roundup Ready soybeans. Then they use a hexane solvent to press all the oil from the soybeans. And they do the same with corn or canola. Any oil in the United States that is made from soy or corn or canola is pressed using hexane solvent. And you can read about that on the Cornucopia Institute, tells all about that.
Even organic oil?
You buy organic soy or corn oil, it has to be cold pressed, and they can't use hexane solvent. Therefore, there's always a certain amount of soybean oil left in the protein cakes. So in the United States, you know, just take soybeans to start with. Soybeans, 93, 94% are pressed for their oil using hexane solvent. Then the protein cakes are fed to animals. Now, some of those protein cakes can be further processed into what's called soy isolates, soy concentrates. So those soy isolates and soy concentrates have been going through hexane extraction, then further extraction, and you'll find in your health food stores soy isolates in just about everything. So you buy vegan burgers or whatever, and if you read the label, and the label says soy isolate, isolated soy protein, that's how it's made. If it's organic, and a good friend of mine, Turtle Island, they make tofurkey products, and he uses an isolate that is made from soy milk. So what you can do is you can take the whole soybean, then you can press the oil, as much oil as you can. You're still going to have 6 to 8% oil left in the soybean. And then you can mill that into a very, very, very fine powder and use it like soy isolates, but it's much more expensive and it still has some oil left. It cannot be 99% protein like normal soy isolates.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so some of that sounds rather unhealthy to me with the hexane and, of course, the GMO,
well,
if it's not
also,
organic.
It's ugly for the environment. The hexane solvents is a very, very, very dangerous, bad work environment. And the industries that crush oil for corn and soy are huge. You know, they might do 5, 10, 15, 20 tons of soybeans a day. There's very, very large industries. And when I was a member of the Soy Foods Association of North America, we wrote a letter, actually I wrote a letter to the FDA asking them how many parts of hexane is allowed in the residue of the food that is given to humans and animals. And the letter I got back was that the FDA has determined that the amount of hexane residue in foods for humans and animals is safe. So then I wrote back and I said, well, I understand that, I've heard that, but how many parts per million is safe? And I got the same letter back, that the FDA has determined that the use of hexane solvents is safe, period. Mm-hmm. So they don't test. They do, and it's the same. You know, if you go to Whole Foods and you buy soy milk, and the soy milk is organic, well, even though it's organic, the USDA and the FDA, they do not test for genetically modified organisms. So it will say on the package, we do not use genetically modified organisms. Well, the FDA and the USDA, they don't test. They might test for 1 or 2% of all foods that are on the shelves in the United States, because the USDA and the FDA, they're the ones that have said that genetically modified food is safe. It's GRAS, G-R-A-S. So mm-hmm. It's good. You don't have to test it. So The only way to get foods that are completely free, and particularly soy and corn, is that they have a seal, and the seal comes from either food chain or other labs, and those labs, they will test every single ingredient in the food, and if there's no genetically modified organisms, you can put a seal on the package that says non-GMO project verified. So if it's non-GMO project verified and organic, because it can be non-GMO, but then it's not organic. Then you're getting all the pesticides and fertilizers in your food. So you need to have both non-GMO, project verified, and organic on the package.
Then I'll bet Whole Soy has both of those on the package.
Yes, we do. Mm-hmm. I mean, from day one, you know, I've been committed since the family was raised in Sweden. I mean, I've been committed to non-GMO even before the non-GMO project. And an interesting thing that happened with us is that I sent my yogurts to Genetic ID, Nancy Musgrave. And I said, Nancy, test the Whole Soy yogurts. I got letters from everybody from, you know, the sugar and the corn and you name it, that it's non-GMO. There's no GMO ingredients. So she tested the Whole Soy yogurts, and they tested fine. Then she writes me a letter, and she says, Ted, we need to test the corn, because the corn starch you're using, when they produce starch from the corn, it destroys the genetic ID of the corn starch.
Ted, we need to take a break. We'll pick it up after our break. It's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. Ted Nordquist speaking at the World Vegan Summit and Expo. Register now, worldvegansummit.com. Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com, Twitter at GoVeganRadio, GoVeganRadio with Bob Linden on Facebook, and there's a Facebook page for the World Vegan Summit and Expo, and World Vegan Summit and Expo, where you can register now. See Ted Nordquist. He'll be speaking Friday afternoon in the California Ballroom. Ted Nordquist, PhD, CEO of Whole Soy. He'll be talking about the challenges of sustaining an organic vegan business. Ironically enough, followed by Professor Tammy Bryant of UCLA. And her subject is why supporting vegan businesses is an important part of animal rights law. So I guess I should introduce you to Tammy to help you overcome whatever problems you might have there, Ted, and there are many challenges. You were talking a bit about, you go to great lengths and you recommend that people buy when it has an organic label plus the, certified organic plus GMO-free project, which Whole Soy Yogurt has, and Whole Soy Yogurt has really a lot of delicious flavor too, I might say. But you were talking about having your products tested and testing the soy and then testing the corn, I believe.
So what Nancy told me is, Ted, you have to send us samples of the corn that they're using to make the starch. So I wrote to the starch company and I said, you need to send samples to Nancy Musgrave at Genetic ID. And nothing happened. And I kept asking, and she got nothing. And so then a year later, I learned from the salesperson, the sales rep, that it's probably impossible, Ted, to get GMO-free corn. I said, but I have a letter from your company saying it's GMO-free. And he said, well, yeah, but nobody's really gone to the lengths where we can do that. There's so much GMO corn, because unlike soybeans, corn will cross-pollinate. So essentially, it's impossible to guarantee that the corn is GMO-free. And when they make the starch in very large starch manufacturing facilities, they can't guarantee 100% that it's GMO-free. So I said, okay, then I'll have to use potato starch. I use potato starch in Sweden. I said, I'll just switch. He said, well, no, we have an alternative. So today, the alternative is this, that I have to buy all of my corn starch. It says organic corn starch on the label. That corn starch comes from Germany, because Europe is still GMO-free. So the corn starch is grown in Germany, is processed into starch with both an organic and a food lab technical testing in Germany before it's then labeled and then shipped to California, put in a warehouse, and then sent to us in Modesto where we process our yogurts.
Well, you certainly seem That you say that's how bad it is, but Ted, it seems like what integrity you have to go to such great lengths.
Well,
but
you know, Bob, I do this, you know, I'm a professor of religious history, and religious history is essentially not Danzer de Bloom in Uppsala started this in the 1800s. It's not theology. It's the study of belief systems throughout the world. And if you really understand all of the indigenous cultures throughout the world, these cultures lived as if the world was interconnected. There's just one essence in all things, in animals, every living thing is connected. So when I started TOFU, I did it as a means of right livelihood. So I don't do it to make a living. I do it because it's right. It's good. If you go to the website, just Google Whole Soy, and you'll find the website, and look up the mission statement. This company is dedicated to the health and well-being of people and the planet because they go together. You have to love the water, the air, the fish, the insects, the animals, everything, because it's all interconnected.
Yep, I hear what you're saying. So, how nice that integrity also includes such a delicious product, by the way, Ted. And again, I'm a fan of the unsweetened plain, which I think is good. Which is good.
Let me tell you, Bob, about the unsweetened plain. when I started the soy yogurts I started in Sweden and made quite a bit of samples and experiments in Sweden. But when I came to the United States, we started with soy milk. We actually produced silk soy milk.
Ted, we're just about out of time. I tell you what, stay with me. We'll have two more minutes to talk about this on the other side of the break. And then Professor Gary Francione coming up on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. You'll get to meet Ted Friday, March 20th at the World Vegan Summit and Expo. Register now, worldvegansummit.com. Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com, on Twitter at GoVeganRadio, Facebook Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, and there is a Facebook page for the World Vegan Summit and Expo, and you can register at WorldVeganSummit.com. Animal rights commentary with Professor Gary Francione coming up in just a couple of minutes. I just wanted to finish up with Ted Nordquist, CEO of Whole Soy. Just as the break came upon us, I seemed to mention my craving for unsweetened plain Whole Soy vegan yogurt. And Ted, you said, let me tell you something about the unsweetened plain. And then I cut you off. So just tell me something about the unsweetened plain.
All right, Bob, you also told me I had 2 minutes, right?
Yes.
Okay, so the cultures come from a Professor Luba Serenko from the Ukraine, and it's a special LM plantarum, LM, and this plantarum culture was the first culture that would work without any added sugars in the soybean milk. So I have to thank her. There's 140 billion culture-forming units the first week we make it, and we guarantee more than 20 billion living cultures, probiotic, good digestive cultures at Endicode 60 days later. So that's what we'll be serving, hopefully, for breakfast, and we can talk more about it then. How about that?
That sounds great. So we'll be enjoying the unsweetened plain, my favorite vegan yogurt. We'll have it breakfast at the World Vegan Summit and Expo. Delicious, healthy soy. Yeah, go ahead.
Bob, do me a favor. Have somebody supply some really good organic muesli and some fruit. It goes excellent, like organic blueberries, organic bananas. So the way I eat it every morning is unsweetened yogurt with some organic muesli and some fruit.
Sounds delicious. We'll make sure we have a winning combination of ingredients there, definitely. So we look forward to seeing you there. Again, Ted Nordquist of Whole Soy. He'll be speaking Friday afternoon on the challenges of sustaining an organic vegan business at the World Vegan Summit and Expo. We'll be saying hi to Professor Gary Francione at the reception Friday night, and then he has his session Saturday morning, an introduction to the abolition approach to animal rights and the two vegan workshops. So we're going to keep you very busy 1 month from now, Professor Francione. It's 1 month from this weekend. So how are you?
Fine. I'm fine. How are you, Bob?
Doing great.
You know, it's funny. I just heard Mr. Nordquist talk about the Whole Soy unsweetened yogurt, and that's exactly what I had tonight.
Wow.
A bit of unsweetened apple butter, and it was just fabulous. I just loved it.
I love it. I love the unsweetened plain. I'm like, you know, it's great.
I love sweetened plain, but, you know, he does get me concerned when he talks about, like, 40 billion live cultures, and I feel like, you know, a plate of this thing is like, you know, I'm committing genocide.
It's all supposed to be good vegan probiotic, as far as what I understand. So, and he's back there counting them. So give him a break. The guy's up to like 39 billion, and you know, so.
Vegan cultures. I'm not sure whether I should be adopting them or eating them. Right. However, you know, I wanted to talk about two things tonight. One is Ann and I were talking before about, you know, we were trying to guesstimate. We've got a bunch of them, but we don't have all of them. I feel bad that I haven't saved them. But all of the emails and various messages that we've gotten, letters, phone messages, and things that we've gotten about Eat Like You Care. And I said to Anna, is it safe to say conservatively that we've gotten well over 250 communications from people who say that they've gone vegan as a result of that book? And she said, yes, that's absolutely, you know, that's a very conservative and very low estimate. And it really shows me something, and it teaches me something, and that is most of those people, many of them were people who were omnivores who became vegan after reading the book, but most of them were vegetarians who went vegan after reading the book. And one of the themes that came through in so many of the communications that we got from people was that they had been involved. Many of these people had been, some of these folks had been vegetarians for over a decade. Many of them, you know, 6-7 years, some 3-4 years, but, you know, a number of them over a decade. And they had all been involved in animal groups. And the one thing that everybody said in their communications with us is that nobody in the groups that they were involved with ever told them or suggested to them that veganism was a moral imperative. It was something that they had to do if they took animal interests seriously. And I think this is really interesting, because this is the problem with the movement. I just hate to dignify.
Right, we're not in it's not our movement for sure.
It's not our movement. And to call it a movement, it's a bunch of companies. It's a bunch of, you know, it's a bunch of animal welfare corporations.
What's being sold to us as a movement,
right,
in a sense?
Exactly, it's being sold to us as a social movement. It's not a social movement. It's a business, and you know, and that's all it is. It's a business. And it's quite it's a lucrative business for a lot of people. I mean, it brings in a lot of money, and a lot of people, you know.
They're the best egg salesmen imaginable. I mean, they've gotten egg sales up to record levels through the hard work of animal advocacy right now, we can thank.
Exactly. You know? And, you know, in promoting this idea that we have to, I saw an essay today written by some who claimed to, her argument or her position was is that we ought to start treating farm animals with dignity and respect. And the answer is you can't treat a farm animal with dignity and respect. You're raising the animal to slaughter the animal and eat the animal. There is no such thing as showing dignity and respect to a being that you bring into existence for the purpose of slaughtering and consuming. However well you treat the animal, although we don't wrong to do. So this idea that, you know, these people are peddling this idea that we can do this, you know, we can treat these animals with dignity and respect, this is nonsense. But I really think that, you know, folks are involved with these corporations, with these welfareist corporations that never challenge them. And then, you know, somebody, you know, gives them Eat Like You Care, or, you know, gives them some sort of, you know, presents some sort of argument to them that veganism is a moral baseline, and the light goes on. And you know, what's really marvelous, and we, you know, we had another translation, by the way, came out, Romanian. We now have I guess we have 7 languages now. We've got Dutch and French coming. But Romanian came out this past week. And, you know, the several hundred people that have just bothered to communicate with us, not including the people who make comments on the Facebook
There's
page.
A really big star in Romania. Somebody wants me to meet who's vegan and very active on vegan issues. If I need to check that contact again. So,
well, but you know, I hope that person has a copy of Eat Like You Care. But,
oh, we'll get it together. Yeah,
indeed. But so you know, I really think, you know, the one thing I've learned by writing that book and you know, discussing it for the past 2 years, is that the ground is really very fertile. People are really wanting to, you know, people are eager, and they're receptive. And when the idea is presented to them and presented in a coherent way, people really respond to it, and they respond very affirmatively. So I think, you know, this is what the Vegan Summit's going to be all about, what the summit's going to be all about.
Are you also saying that vegetarians are the low-hanging fruit, then? Is that
I think they are. I mean, look, I think they are. When you get somebody who says, I don't consume animals for moral reasons, and you say, well, but wait a minute, you are consuming animals. You think it's immoral to consume animals, then why are you consuming animals? And so they are, you know, they are the low-hanging fruit, I think, in a lot of ways. You know, I mean, I think there's a lot of low-hanging fruit out there. I think people who live with companion animals are low-hanging fruit. They're, you know, I mean, people who love, who have relationships with, and have emotional attachment to non-human animals are low-hanging fruit. What you need to do is to demonstrate to them that there really isn't a difference between the animals they love and those into whom they stick forks. And you know, and vegetarians are low-hanging fruit. Vegetarians who are vegetarians for ethical reasons. You know, those folks are low-hanging fruit because they've already accepted the idea that eating animals is wrong, morally wrong, but they're continuing to eat animals. So you just need to sort of explain to them that if you think animals eating animals is wrong, why are you continuing to eat animals? And you know, some of those people will get upset with you and you know, just throw up their hands and say you're being an extremist or a fundamentalist. Like I called.
Well, I always ask, you know, if they say, well, I'm not vegan, I'm vegetarian. I say, well, you know, for all the reasons that you're vegetarian, those are the reasons to go vegan. You know, I mean, they are
exactly, you know? exactly, and. And so, you know, but I did, you know, I did want to share that with you because I really do think, you know, I actually think that if we had, which is what the summit's all about, you know, it's about getting people turned on to this idea and recognizing that, you know, everybody's got the ability to be a leader. Everyone's got the ability to be an educator. You know, the people, the opportunities for education may vary, you know, between and amongst people, but everyone's got the opportunity to educate, and if they take, you know, if those of us who cared about this were doing this conscientiously, we would see a tremendous change, and we would see a tremendous gain in the number of people out there who are vegan. So I think, you know, this idea, you know, that it's an extremist thing. I mean, I got called an extremist tonight, like, for the 83 trillionth time in my life.
I love, you know, that.
On my Facebook page, the Abolitionist Approach to Animal Rights Facebook page, I got called an extremist by someone. And I said, well, you know, I confess, I am an extremist. I'm an extremist in the defense of the vulnerable, and I'm an extremist in that I believe that we cannot morally justify the exploitation of non-human animals. If that makes, you know, I don't regard that as extremist. I regard it as simply articulating a moral position that most people already accept anyway. I'm just taking it to its logical conclusion.
I don't think there's anything more extreme than eating meat, dairy, fish, and eggs. I can't think of anything more extreme.
Agree. I agree. I mean, you know,
Oops, it looks like it is time for us to take a quick break, and we will continue with Professor Gary Francione on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. Please do register now for the World Vegan Summit and Expo. Come out and see us a month from now at the Marina Del Rey Marriott. Register at worldvegansummit.com. Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com. And we suggest you register now for the World Vegan Summit and Expo at WorldVeganSummit.com. I think that the discounted rate at the Marriott expires within a day or two or three. So if you want to take advantage, go to WorldVeganSummit.com. Our thanks for support from Nature's Flavors. Go to Nature'sFlavors.com. Order online. See how flavorful your kitchen can be, whether you're a professional chef or amateur. All of us vegans we have to be chefs if we want to eat. So check out Nature's Flavors, all the products vegan, and Bertie and Bill sodas, and Select, S-E-E-L-E-C-T, coffee and tea, which will be served at the World Vegan Summit and Expo also. It's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. Two extremists right here who, we're so extreme we don't want to stab someone, eat her body, get cancer and heart disease, and destroy the planet. It's extreme that we wouldn't want to do that. Right, Professor Francione?
Exactly. How very, very strange. I mean, I was just, some of these comments that I get are really just so bizarre. And it's, what's interesting is the folks who defend welfareism, they've got nothing to say of substance in response to the arguments I make. So they just, call me names, the extremist, divisive, this, that, and the other thing. But look, the bottom line is, we've got something that is valuable, and what we need to do is to share it with everyone, and we can do that. We need to educate ourselves, something I stress a great deal.
Oh, and by the way, a way of doing that, I have to compliment you on a video that you recorded for the World Vegan Summit and Expo, which should be on its Facebook page. It's on my Go Vegan Radio. I think you may have posted it also. It's a 20-minute, just really a brilliant discussion that covers, a broad spectrum of what concerns us. I really highly recommend people see that. I really think it was great, actually.
Thank you, Bob. Thank you. I enjoyed doing it. But I think, I do think we need to educate. I'm looking forward this coming week on Friday night. I'm going to be in Princeton, New Jersey, at Yoga Stream. I'm going to be doing a lecture. Anna and I are going to be doing a lecture on veganism, and it's going to be introduced by Chris Hedges. So I'm really excited about that.
I didn't know Chris Hedges was into yoga.
I don't know whether Chris is into yoga. His partner Eunice Wong is a yoga instructor.
Ah, okay. And Chris is vegan now. I mean, and a strongly worded vegan too.
A strongly worded vegan. Yes, and it's wonderful that somebody, one of the best minds of the of our time is now seeing the light on that, and it's he's a terrific guy, and I'm looking forward to that and seeing him and Eunice on Friday night. They're lovely people, and
invite them to join us on the show sometime soon if they.
I will be happy to, Bob. I will be happy to do that because yeah. They're lovely people, and their passion for social justice is just remarkable, actually. but they're terrific folks, and so I'm looking forward to that. But those sorts of events, you know, where you have a group of people, you know, I don't know whether the people there will be vegan. I suspect that many, if not most of them, won't be vegan. I'm hoping that a number of them will at least be stimulated to think about veganism after the talk that Anna and I give to them, and the discussion and the wonderful discussion that I'm sure that we will have. And so, you know, but that's what we've got to do. That's our only choice is, you know, either we just give up and say we don't care, or if we care, we educate. And those are our only two choices. But we have to educate clearly. And I think one of the real problems has been that there's a value to a lack of clarity when you're not really a social movement, but you're a business. And what you're trying to do is sell varying degrees of comfort levels to people. So you sell happy exploitation to those people who want to continue to eat animal products, etc.
A breakfast of cage-free eggs and crate-free bacon. That's what we get from that movement. We have our movement coming at the World Vegan Summit and Expo. Thank you, Professor Francione. Please, register now, worldvegansummit.com. Coming up fast.